Okay, good evening, everyone. Can I have some volume, please? Yeah. Volume. Yeah. Hello, check. Yeah. Hello, check. Yeah. Okay. Okay, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9. Proverbs 28 and verse 9. It says, "One who turns away, excuse me, one who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening, and we pray you would move in our midst, you would move in our hearts. You would speak to our hearts today, Lord. You would transform us, we pray. And you would minister to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So today's theme, which I'd like to speak on, is returning back to biblical prosperity. Returning back to biblical prosperity. Now, when somebody makes a statement like this, "I have eternal life in heaven," the question is, what is the basis of that statement? Or somebody makes a statement, "God hears my prayer." What is the basis of that statement? When I was in Goa, I was trying to share the gospel with an older lady who was a piano teacher, and she laughed and said, "Don't boast that you're going to heaven. Don't boast." Okay? And I thought within myself, what was my statement based on that I'm going to heaven? It was based upon what God had said in His Word. Right? I had another gentleman visit me in Goa. And as men of God, we receive a lot of prayer requests. So one prayer request was for his wife. A couple of months later, I visited his city and found out that nothing was wrong with his wife. His life was not in order, right? And then the question would be, would my prayer be answered for him, right? You know, there are many people generally in the city here in Bangalore who go from church to church, conference to conference, and go to the main speaker and say, "Pastor, put your hand over me and pray." And it could be possible that their lives are not in order, but they want a prayer to be answered from God. Now, what we see here is there is an increased move in the born-again Christian world where the offer of salvation, which is the way to God, is welcomed wholeheartedly. But the definition of sanctification, which is the walk with God, is now defined by the individual. Like, for example, there is a pressure on the church. Why can't we have women pastors? Why can't there be gay marriage? And so on and so forth, right? It is now how people choose to define what is acceptable or what is unacceptable in the New Testament church. And we see in the Bible that the terms of salvation, the terms of sanctification, and the promise of glorification is defined by God in His Word. It is all defined by God in His Word. Now, in our first point, we see positional truth versus experiential truth. What is positional truth? Positional truth is there are things that accrue to me purely based upon the Lord Jesus Christ's finished work on the cross. He did a finished work on the cross, and when I believed in Him for my salvation, there were things which accrued to me, or which were charged to me, or which were brought to my account freely. And one of them is Romans 4:8, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin." This blessedness means completely satisfied, completely satisfied. This is positional truth. But it doesn't stay there. We also come to experiential truth, where God wants me to experience His truth on a daily basis. And we have that in James 1, 21 to 25, where it says, laying apart all wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. And it says, do not be hearers, but doers of the work. Because if somebody is a hearer and not a doer, in James 1:22, he deceives himself. Which means, the word is paralogizomai, which means I misreckon. God says this way and I go the other way. I deceive myself. Now, this is important for us today, that when we live in ignorance, God instructs us. You know, one of the things which Jesus kept saying in the Gospels, and it's in the Gospel of Matthew, have you not read? What is it? Have you not read? Whenever there was a discussion about godly things, have you not read? In Matthew 12 verse 3, have you not read what David did? In Matthew 12 verse 5, how the priests profane the Sabbath and are blameless. Have you not read? In Matthew 19 verse 4, based upon their question about divorce, have you not read that he who made them male and female? In Matthew 21:16, have you not read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, I will perfect praise? In Matthew 21:42, have you not read that the stone which the builders have rejected has become the chief cornerstone? In Matthew 22:31, about the resurrection, there was a lady and she had seven husbands in a row as husbands, right? Whose wife shall be in the resurrection? Have you not read in the resurrection, correct? Have you not read? We see this aspect of ignorance even with Apollos in Acts chapter 18, 24 to 28, where he knew accurately, he was a great preacher, but he knew accurately till the way of John. And then Aquila and Priscilla took him and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And then in Acts 18, 26, 28, we see he started preaching that Jesus is the Christ. He was ignorant, and God sent somebody to remove the ignorance from his life. We see in Acts chapter 23, verses 3 to 5, Paul, the high priest says, hit him on the mouth. And he says, you know, he says a offensive thing. And somebody says, don't you know that person is the high priest? And Paul says, I didn't know. Because it is said that you should not revile a ruler. Quoting from Exodus 22 verse 28. Paul knew the precept, but he did not know that the person was the high priest. And he did it out of ignorance. So when I'm ignorant, God instructs me. So it is possible that if you're new here in this church and you come, there are many things you may hear and it may surprise you, because there are things which you've been doing and you hear it through instruction and it's diametrically opposite to the Word of God. What is that? Instruction. The first time I heard that Mary was not a perpetual virgin as a Catholic person, it was like blasphemy when I read it. It was like blasphemy. Salvation by grace through faith, okay. Mary is not perpetually virgin. That's blasphemy. I read those passages. Oh, so that's instruction. I was ignorant, right? Now, this is important. After God instructs me, God expects me or wants me to obey the word. So in James 1, if I hear, and I'm not a forgetful hearer, but I'm a doer of the work, I look into the perfect law of liberty and I do it, what will happen? This man will be blessed in what he does. Markarios, totally satisfied in what he does. Right? So God wants us to obey. Now the challenge happens when I come to the church, I hear the word of God, or when I read the Bible in the morning as my devotional, I read the Bible, I know what it is saying, and I don't do it. That's the challenge. And when I do that, what happens? That disobedience leads to a state of self-deception. In James 1:22, I am deceiving myself. Now, it's very important for us to understand today, in our second point, that God is a God of order. In 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order, right? It is talking about the order in the church. Now, this is what happens. When I reject the word that I've heard from the Bible or from that which is preached by the man of God, I am outside of God's order. For example, in Matthew 15, 8 and 9, when they came to Jesus and said, oh, your disciples don't wash hands. Jesus also said, you also make the word of God of none effect through your tradition. For you draw near with your lips, but in your practice, you observe what? The precepts of men, right? We are living by human precepts. We are outside of God's order. And many times, it is possible that people are living outside of God's order and are not even aware of it because of self-deception. Now, when you come to the Bible, God defines a particular order. There is submission by the pastor to God. There is submission by the people to the pastor in Hebrews 13, 17. There is a submission of the wife to the husband, Ephesians 5, 25 onwards. Submission of children to parents, Ephesians 6, 1 to 4. Submission of employees to bosses in Ephesians 6, 5 to 8. And there's submission of citizens to government in Romans chapter 13, 1 to 8. Right? What is that? That is God's order. That's God's order. Jesus cleansed the temple twice. John chapter 2, 13 to 17. And in Matthew 21, 12 to 14. Why? Because he was a God of order. Now this is what happens. When Christians reject the word of God and live by their own opinions and lifestyles, the order of God is reversed. Now that's important. The order of God gets reversed, right? When the congregation does not submit to the pastor teacher, when the wife does not submit to the husband, when the husband does not sacrificially love his wife, right? When the children don't obey the parents, when as an employee I don't submit to my boss, right? When as citizens we don't submit to the government, when what the government is doing is right. Only in one case, Acts 5:29, when the government says something which is against the word of God, we have to obey God above government, right? We are what? We are outside of God's order. And when we are outside of God's order, right, God will not answer my prayer. What does the Bible say? Right? One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination to him. It's an abomination to God. Now, in our third point, we see is repentance. Repentance. What is repentance? It is a change of mind. It is a decision I make in my will and in my mind where there has been a departure in my life. So, let's say this is where God wants me to be. I have departed. Now, repentance is a change of mind to come back to the point where God wants me to be. There needs to be repentance. Now, many times, this is what happens to us. We get away with God's order by asserting that we are right. In Judges chapter 17, verse 6, there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. In Judges 21:25, it says the same things. Proverbs 21 verse 2, every man does what is right in his own eyes, but God weighs the heart. God weighs the motives, right? So, just because I think I'm right doesn't mean I am right before God. That's very important, right? Right? And so we see in the Bible, we see an example of repentance. And that is King Josiah. You can read 2 Kings 22 and 23 and 2 Chronicles 34 and 35. You can read it. Right? And the story goes like this. King Josiah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had. In the Chronicles account, he puts away some of the general things which are idolatrous. But in the King's account, it says he gives money to repair the temple, and the book is found in the temple, the Old Testament and the law. And they bring it and they read it before the king. And as soon as the king hears it, he humbles himself and he repents. And he tears his cloth and he puts ashes and he says, "We have done what is wrong before God. Whatever we are doing is wrong." Then they go to the prophetess Huldah. She says, "Because your king humbled himself, the judgment of God will not come in his lifetime." Then in the next chapter, we see that he makes a covenant, right, to follow the word of God to the T. And he destroys all the wrong things. He puts away all the wrong things in the land. And then he reinstates the Passover. Right? He reinstates the Passover. And what is repentance? The repentance is, firstly, humbling myself before God. That's repentance. Humbling myself to his, aligning to God's order through his word. And there are two things which happen in repentance. I need to put away some things which God says need to be put away. And I need to reinstate back some things which God wants me to reinstate. Right? This is very important today. Very important in our lives today. To put away some things and to reinstate back some things. It is possible for us to go through our whole Christian life or a major part of our Christian life being totally out of God's order, where from the outside I'm doing what seems right. I come to church, I come to Bible school, I go for outreach, I do all the things which are right. But in my heart, I am not obeying the word of God but the precepts of men. I am out of God's order, right? And God is not interested in that kind of Christian living, where I look right on the outside, but God is interested in my heart, in the deep things of my heart. Now, for a moment, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 1. Okay. Verse 10. "Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats." Then in verse 15. "When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." Right? Then you come down to verse 18. Verse 16. "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean." Verse 17. "Learn to do good, seek justice." Verse 18. "Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be scarlet, they shall be white as snow." Verse 19. "If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." See, that's the progression. This is the progression. Today was fasting and praying, and day of prayer today. You know, it is possible we can pray much. There have been brothers and sisters who have come to me and said, "Oh, I've prayed so much, I've fasted and prayed, but God is not hearing my prayer." You know why? Because it is possible, and I include myself first in it, that my life and our lives are not in order. Because God wants first our lives to be in order, and then when our lives are in order and we pray, God will hear our prayer. So there are some things. Let's turn to Isaiah 58. It's a chapter on fasting, right? Isaiah 58, where it says, And verse 3, why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? These are people are saying, the people of Israel are saying to God, right? And then God answers, verse 4, you fast for strife and debate, to strike with the fist. Verse 5, is it a fast that I have chosen? And then God corrects them, and then it says, verse 7, is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. And then in verse 9, then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, he will say, here I am. Right? Right? When the life is in order and then the fasting and prayer happens, then God will answer. God will answer. Another passage is Zechariah chapter 7. Zechariah chapter 7. Verse 8. The word of the Lord came to Zechariah saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice, show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. But verse 11, let's focus on this. But they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders and stopped their ears so they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his spirit to the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it happened that just as he proclaimed, and they would not hear, so they called out and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. See, it's here. It's here. It's here. God is first saying, I want you to obey me first. I want you to obey in every aspect of your life. I want you to obey what I'm telling you. And then when you obey, and then you pray, I will answer you. I will answer your prayer. And so when I don't listen to the word of God, or obey the word of God, God will not listen to my prayer. When somebody goes independent from the church and says, I want to serve God independently, and says, I have peace in my heart, they are outside of God's order. Because in Acts chapter 13, as they were ministering, the Spirit of God said, through the local church, separate Saul and Barnabas for the work I've called. God is always working in his order. Now, what is important today? What is important? It is important for us to get back to God's order. It is very important for us to get back to God's order. If I'm a man of God, I need to get back to God's order in terms of my personal life, right? My prayer life, being confessed up to date, my walk with God. If I'm a husband, I need to get back to God's order, to be the head of my home, to be responsible, to love my wife and my family sacrificially. I need to get back to the order. If I'm a wife, I need to get back to the order. Even if my husband is off, to submit and to be quiet. And in 1 Peter 3, without a word, 1 to 7, win him back. Without a word, I have to get back to the order, right? If we are people here and we have some issues, we have to get back to God's order. It's not about the man of God, right? In 1 Samuel 24, King Saul was wrong. David had an opportunity to kill him. But what did David say in verse 6? I will not touch the Lord's anointed, right? I will not. It was not about who was right and who was wrong. It was about God's order. And eventually then God removed Saul and put David as the king, right? It is about God's order, right? We submit to the worship leader. We submit to the outreach leader. We submit to one another in the fear of the Lord, Ephesians 5:21, because it is about God's order, right? We do business correctly. We pay taxes. There's no deceitfulness. There's no cheating. There's no guile. We do it right. We do it the way God says it. Because you know what is important with God? The goal is not important. And many times we justify ourselves by saying the goal is important. The goal is important. Like if you were to look at David and in 2 Samuel 6 and say, okay, he brought the ark. What was wrong? God, he wanted to get the ark. The goal was right, but the means were wrong. And that's why Uzzah died, right? God is interested in me getting the means right. And when I get the means right, God will make the goal happen. And even if the goal doesn't happen, God is still glorified because the means are right. I can do business correctly and I can go in loss and it's okay, but God is glorified. Are we understanding? Right? It is about taking our place in God's order. And when we take our place in God's order and we pray, God hears us. God hears us. This is really important today. I've been thinking about this. Pastor has been preaching a lot, so many of the themes I'm repeating. It's about getting back to God's order. It's not about who's right and who's wrong. It's about getting back to God's order. Because when we get back to God's order, we can live in biblical prosperity. Right? When I was in the Pentecostal church, it was called the Full Gospel Church. So one day I asked the pastor, what does the full gospel mean? He says, Anil, we believe everything, not partially. We believe in the gifts, everything we believe. We believe in the full gospel. And I want to take an application for that. Why don't we believe in full prosperity? Why don't we believe that I can have a prosperity in my heart, right? Psalm 35:27, God is blessed in the prosperity of his servant. I can have good health. I can have a great family life. I can have a great work life and ministry, correct? I can have great friendships and I can be used of God to reach the world and I can pick up my personal cross and be a missionary. Why can't I believe that? But to believe that, I need to get back to God's order. And when I get back to God's order and I pray, God will answer. God will help me to love sacrificially as a husband. God will help us to be united. God will empower us. Where two or three gather, there he is in our midst. When we agree on earth, it shall be done in heaven. You know the kind of authority the church has? We have tremendous authority. But God first wants to clean up his own house. In 1 Peter 4, judgment begins at the house of God. He first cleans up his own house. Right? And we have authority where you have the authority to share the gospel. And if they believe, they can go to heaven forever. We have authority to pray for one another. When we agree, God will hear from heaven. Needs of the body as well as for people to get saved. We have authority. But for that to happen, some things have to be put away from our lives. If I have a problem with my tongue, it's not okay. It's not okay. Gossip is not okay. Slander is not okay. Criticism, negativity, accusation is not okay according to the Bible, right? Speaking behind a person's back is not okay. Breaking confidentiality is not okay. There are some sins which we think is okay. It's not okay. We have to put it away. And there are many things in the Bible, and as the Spirit of God convicts each one of us, they have to be put away. And there have been some things which need to be reinstated. Maybe I once read my Bible, but I don't. I need to get back to reading the Bible. Maybe I once came to church often, but I don't. I need to come back. Maybe I once preached the gospel, but I don't. I need to get back. Why can't we have a prayer meeting with 150 people? Amen? Is it possible? Yes? Is it possible? It is possible. But we need to believe what God says. So in closing today, let's get back to biblical prosperity. Right? And biblical prosperity is first spiritual prosperity, which is prosperity inside your heart. And then flows out and then we minister. And it's also physical prosperity where God blesses us materially and on every front in terms of health, wealth, and so on and so forth. Let's get back to it. Let's get back to it, right? We can get back to it. Wouldn't it be great to sleep tonight totally relaxed? And he gives his beloved sleep and get up in the morning totally satisfied because your soul is at rest, because we are back in God's order and nothing troubles us. Amen? So in closing today, this is a message and it's relevant to all of us starting from me. No one is exempt. In 1 Timothy 4, I think 14, Paul told Timothy, continue in the doctrine. Right? Pay close attention to yourself because you will both save yourself and those who hear you. And that saving is in terms of our walk with God. And in closing today, salvation, the terms, is by grace, is given by God. But even the walk with God is defined by God in the Word. You and I cannot redefine it and say, this is the way it is. No, you have to come to the Word and say, no, this is the way it is. And you know, there are many things which are there in the Bible, and as a man of God, I don't have to tell you like KG class, see, it's here in the Bible. I simply have to say, have you not read? Whether it is the subject of alcohol, whether it is the subject of dressing or whatever, it's all there in the Bible. Have you not read? It's there. But what if I have read and I don't want to obey? That's a whole different subject. So in closing today, this is to edify us. The answer is in the Bible. Right? If you have a bad marriage and you pray, Lord, help me in my marriage, God will take you back to the doctrine. Because in the doctrine is the deliverance. Right? I come back to the doctrine. You can have the best marriage possible if you believe the doctrine. Right? We can have the best church possible if we believe the doctrine. I can be a great missionary if I believe the doctrine and I obey it. It's as simple as that. So let's really think about it today. I want this message just not to be a message. I've been thinking about it for many days. But to really think, to really, 2 Corinthians 35, to really examine our hearts in the light of the Word. Because I believe that we are on the threshold of a breakthrough. I believe that in our church. When we see the Bible classes, the intensity with which pastor is preaching and teaching, I believe we are in the threshold of a breakthrough. And it's just going to take this to see the breakthrough. Do you believe that? I believe that. We believe that. Missions will happen. People will get saved. There will be a pouring out of the Holy Spirit in our midst if we just get back to God's order. And I also believe that businesses can be blessed, get out of debt, and be a blessing unto the kingdom of God. I believe that with all my heart, if we do it according to God's order. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this evening. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, it is not an ego issue, Lord, to humble ourselves before you and as the Spirit convicts us, to accept that when we are wrong, and to repent. It's just a decision, Lord. You can put it all together, Lord, in our lives. Our walk with you, our personal walk with you, our families, our marriages, our church, our ministry, our callings. You can do it, Lord. It's not by our strength, but by your grace. Yes, Father, minister to us. Give us a spirit of unity in our church. We want that breakthrough. We want that revival to happen in our hearts, in our lives, in our families, in our church. We want that full blessing, Lord, which you have promised in your word. We don't want to receive it in fragments. We want to live full lives, Lord, enjoying our walk with you, enjoying our marriages, enjoying our family, enjoying ministry, enjoying missions, enjoying loving one another and ministering to one another, Lord. So pray, Lord, you would help us, you would fill us, and you would minister to us, and you would make revival happen in us and through us. In Jesus' name.